The Doc and Carolyn Podcast.
Podcasting from deep in the heart of downtown Lufkin. Episode number 22 of the Doc and Carolyn Podcast. Hello, honey.
My lips are still burning.
I'm telling you what, we went to a place called Crawfish Nick's. We found it yesterday, actually.
So yummy.
How good, but we got the spicy garlic, and that takes the level off the charts. Really is delicious, but boy, you gotta kind of suffer through.
You're used to things that hot.
Yeah, I like Thai food.
I don't typically eat them that hot.
Well, you hung in there, girlfriend. I'm very, very proud of you.
Because they were yummy.
Yeah, you did a good job. We are going to deal with some things that are going on in the world around us. The name of the show is What in the World is Going On? And some of what we're going to explore is from Jan Markell. Her podcast is Understanding the Times podcast. She's on the One Place app. The One Place app is fantastic. Pastoring and teaching all on one app from all over the world. Great pastors, Tony Evans, some other big names. And Jan Markell is one of those people. And we do an excerpt on this show. Her guests, the author of Deep State, The Invisible Government Behind the Scenes, Alex Newman, who's lead pastor of Revival Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. And Pastor Mark Henry is an author and journalist, and he's also one of the guests. Our intention is to inform. We're going to give you all the information that we've gathered about the religion of climate change and why is the border open and what is the deal with cryptocurrency? Why is that an emerging thing? All of that we're delivering just to inform. The Doc and Carolyn podcast is for entertainment purposes only. So listen up and decide for yourself how to interpret what you hear.
It's not for us. I am concerned about the country we are going to leave for our children and grandchildren.
Yeah, great point.
Because we only have a finite time here, and once we're gone, we're not going to be here to protect them.
Yeah. How are your integrative and functional medicine classes coming?
School is going well. Of course, I want to be finished with it already, and I have a lot to go, but yeah. At least I am enjoying it very much. This week on the NP is in, I wanted to talk about two of my classes. My semester's coming to an end. I wanted to talk about two of my favorite. First one is the mind-body connection and the placebo effect. Mm-hmm. I found that so interesting because when studies are done on medication, the placebo effect kind of is a nuisance. You know, if you have the same effect when you get the placebo as you do the medication, it's kind of annoying for the pharmaceutical company because
if you're getting the same results from a non-medication, then why take the medication?
Exactly. But instead of it being a nuisance, I understand why it is for the pharmaceutical company, but for your wellness in general, it's now being looked at more as a way to help with your wellness. And it's just all about your attitude, your mindset. And as a Christian, we know what God says about your words and your thoughts. In Proverbs, it says that a happy heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. So your mind and your body, your attitude, it's all connected.
Is a placebo something that you ask for from your provider?
No. We cannot give placebos.
Oh, okay.
It's just the placebo effect.
Oh.
And knowing that because you think you're getting a medication and it works, clearly there's a connection between your mind and your body.
Yeah.
So that's what functional medicine is looking more at now. And that's it for the NP is in. Happy wellness.
Hey, y'all, it's Texas City with another fun fact about Texas. The Texas Triangle, the triplex, is made up of four major cities, Austin, Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston, and San Antonio. With a population of 21 million, it is considered a mega region of the USA. I'm Texas Tootie, proud mom of a Texas law enforcement officer. Back the blue.
Folks, we're facing an orchestrated invasion of the United States and the Western world more broadly. We've got an orchestrated civil war apparently brewing in the United States, and we've got an economic collapse being engineered to throw jet fuel on the dumpster fire of it all. Brought to you by the Deep State, of course.
They actually have a UN of religions. It's called Religions for Peace. What a cute name. How could you be against Religions for Peace, right? Well, it's funded by George Soros, by the Rockefellers, by the Ford Foundation, by the United Abominations, a bunch of UN agencies, the U.S. State Department, a bunch of New Age occultist foundations like the Fetzer Institute and others. Here's their new executive director. Her name is Dr. Aza Karam. Before taking over this entity, she was actually at the UN Population Fund. That's the UN agency dedicated to reducing the number of us people on this planet. They think there's too many of us, and they especially don't like the Africans. How dare those African women have 4 children? Who do they think they are? But here she is bragging about what this Religions for Peace actually is.
My name is Azza Karam, and I have the privilege and the responsibility of serving a worldwide movement of interreligious institutions, organizations called Religions for Peace. In case you do not know it, we think of it as the United Nations of Religions. The United Nations has member states or governments. Religions for Peace has member religious institutions. All religious institutions.
All religious institutions.
Representatives from all faith traditions where there are no institutions, as well as interfaith.
Anyways. All religious institutions are members of this UN of religions. What happens if your religious institution is not a member? Well, you're not a legitimate religion. You're some cult. We need to shut you down. You're probably one of those extremist Christian nationalist bigoted, pick your nasty terms. You're not legitimate if you're not part of the UN of religions. So they got together in 2019, all these religious leaders, all these pagans, they flew in with the feathered headdresses, they flew them in from the Amazon rainforest and everywhere else, and they signed a declaration. They agreed that all of them are going to urge their religious communities to align themselves with the Sustainable Development Goals. They actually committed to human development as set forth in the Sustainable Development Goals, which is basically global tyranny, global diabolical government.
I've been following the climate agenda my entire career in journalism. I've been doing this about 15 years now, and I've been going to these UN climate summits for about 15 years. Before I was even born, the same people, the same organizations were promoting very similar agendas, just under various different pretexts. So before climate was even an issue, they were telling us we were going to run out of resources, there wasn't going to be enough oil, there wouldn't be enough metals, and we'd have to reduce the population. We'd have to give up our freedoms. We'd have to drastically reduce the standard of living. All of the same solutions, right? Give us more money. Give us more power. You get less money. You get less freedom. And we'll save you from resource depletion. Well, the resource depletion narrative really fell apart very rapidly. We've got more proven oil reserves that are accessible today than back when they started making these goofy predictions. So in the early 1990s is when they really, really shifted gears on the climate front. Back in the 70s and even into the 80s, they had started pushing the global cooling narrative. In fact, the Earth did cool a little bit from the 40s up through about the late 70s into the 80s. And so they told us that human emissions of CO2 were causing global cooling. There was going to be another ice age. Again, same solutions, less oil, less freedom, less money for you, more control at the international level. In 1991, the Club of Rome got together and the Cold War was ending. They kind of needed a new justification for this huge government, these immense taxes, all these international agencies. And they came up with the idea, as they said in their report, The First Global Revolution, that climate change and global warming would be a good pretext because that way, in their words, humanity itself is the enemy. So they came up with that idea and really started pushing it. The agenda's been around for a long time. Climate change is just the latest pretext. But the religious angle is something that only more recently has truly come out of the closet. Even back in the 90s, you had some of the Rockefellers, some of these other guys. Back in the early 1990s, they had this blasphemous Ark of Hope. It was supposed to be kind of like the Ark of the Covenant, but people were really disgusted by that. So they kind of put it on the shelf for a time. But at the last 2 climate summits, I was just a few months ago on the Arabian Peninsula for the COP28. And the year before that, I was on the Sinai Peninsula for the COP27. It just completely out in the open, this agenda to bring all the religions of the world together behind this really pagan, pantheistic, demonic agenda that is masquerading as an effort to save the planet from human emissions of CO2.
As I read through the New Testament, you find that they're going to end up worshiping the creation, Romans chapter 1. So we should have anticipated this. But what is fascinating, and Alex has brought this out, and we've all interviewed and talked about this some in the past, this is the new gospel. And if you remember in Galatians chapter 1, the warning there to the church is, don't embrace another gospel. Someone comes to you preaching another gospel. In fact, they even call it another gospel. The words of like repent, the sin against nature, the sin against the world, and you need to repent of that. It's not repent, change your mind, believe in Jesus. It's repent that you're using water or other resources here on the planet. So it is another gospel. And according to Galatians chapter 1, Christians should not embrace that. They need to see this as another gospel and let that angel or that spokesperson, quite honestly, be accursed.
All religions teach us to respect the creation that we have been given. And we've done kind of a terrible job of that. And so with a new 10 commandments of climate change, which are an addendum to, not a replacement for, the original 10 commandments, and a third covenant that we're working on between mankind and creation, that we would refocus on those elements of the teachings from across religions that point us in the direction of fixing the problems that we've created so that life can thrive on this planet and so that we can build that proverbial kingdom of heaven here on Earth.
The background before that conversation began was so fascinating. They had just done this big ceremony, this absolutely blasphemous ceremony. They had all these self-proclaimed religious leaders of the world march up to the top of Mount Sinai. And first of all, they did a climate repentance ceremony. And all I could think about in seeing this is like, this is probably something like what the prophets of Baal looked like when confronted by Elijah. Just totally ridiculous. Dancing around, repenting to the climate gods for their CO2 emissions and their airfare and their steak dinners. Really, really silly. But then it got even worse. They took out these two tablets painted green that were supposed to be the new Ten Commandments. And the individual who was responsible gave a speech really just shrieking and hollering about how governments need to do more to save us from CO2. And then he smashed these tablets on the floor. Of course, it was meant to be the redo of what Moses did when he found God's people worshiping this ridiculous golden calf. He probably didn't see the irony there in the syncretism, but that's the backdrop. They had unveiled these new Ten Commandments. And even before this ceremony took place with major religious leaders from all the major denominations, they even had some evangelicals there, by the way, or self-proclaimed evangelicals participating in this. But they had released this new Ten Commandments to the world. And the UN itself had put out a report just a couple of weeks ahead of this summit, arguing in very plain terminology that the systems of morality and ethics that, in their view, had evolved over thousands of years. And of course, this was a direct reference to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. Those were no longer adequate for the modern world because they weren't helping us to protect Mother Earth. And so they concluded in this report, Human Development, that we needed a new system of morality and ethics that would cause people to act according to new moral codes. That's their language, not mine. So they did this blasphemous ceremony. They unveiled these new Ten Commandments. And I ran into four of the main organizers of this thing. One of them is the gentleman you just heard. His name was James Sternlicht. He's the CEO of the Peace Department. And the context before I had asked him that question, I had asked him also, you know, a lot of American Christians are kind of uncomfortable with the idea of a new Ten Commandments, right? They think God gave them the original Ten Commandments. Here you're coming up with a new Ten Commandments. But then he doubled down not only on the new Ten Commandments, yeah, UN and friends will give you a new Ten Commandments, but then he added that other part that I was not expecting, that we're going to use these new Ten Commandments to build the kingdom of heaven here on. And all I could think of is, man, they're talking about the kingdom of the Antichrist, and it's so clear.
Well, to the question, will there be climate lockdowns? Remember the pandemic? I mean, some of the nations around the world were completely shut down because they didn't have the same constitutional protections that we do. But going forward, as this climate religion begins to have a real foothold, is it a possibility that we could have climate lockdowns?
It's a very real possibility. If they think they can get away with it, they absolutely will. And I've watched this develop. In fact, at the most recent climate summit, you had the head of the World Health Organization, Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus. He's got a very long and illustrious career in Marxism and terrorism. In fact, he was on the Politburo of the Tigray People's Liberation Front. This is an ethno-Marxist terrorist organization that operated in Ethiopia. And he came out and said, the climate crisis is a health crisis. You've got the World Bank saying we can learn lessons on how to solve the climate crisis by looking at how we dealt with the COVID crisis. So they want to apply all of those same totalitarian policies, including, by the way, the digital IDs, the tracking of everything you do. It was contact tracing. Now it'll be for your carbon footprint. They want to implement all of those under the pretext of saving us from climate change. So it's hard to overemphasize the danger of this totalitarian agenda. And they very much see climate change and pandemic as interchangeable when it comes to imposing these policies on humanity.
And I don't know if you picked up on that one sentence he had there, we're coming up with a third covenant. So we've got the first covenant of the law. Jesus talks about a new covenant, the promise in Jeremiah 31. In fact, when we have communion, we hold that cup. This is the new covenant in my blood, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And now they come up with 10 commandments and they come up with a new covenant of reconciliation. This is so blasphemous. This is straight from the pit of hell. And there's no way of saying it even softer than that. This is from the pit of hell. And then to blasphemy towards Christ, because we're looking forward to Jesus setting up God's kingdom on earth. And they specifically say man is going to set up a kingdom on earth in opposition to God. This sounds just like Genesis chapter 11, where they said, we're not going to do what God says. We're going to come together. We're going to build a tower unto God. We're going to be gods unto ourselves. This is a fascinating time to live. But the bottom line is this, Jesus is coming and he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And he is not happy with that sort of commentary.
So listen now to these globalists begin to talk about the economy and the world economy.
According to Pippa Malmgren at the World Government Summit, she's been an advisor to presidents, so is her father. It's going to be the backbone of the architecture of the new world order.
What underpins a world order is always the financial system. I was very privileged. My father was an advisor to Nixon when they came off the gold standard in 71. And so I was brought up with a kind of inside view of how very important the financial structure is to absolutely everything else. And what we're seeing in the world today, I think, is we are on the brink of a dramatic change where we are about to, and I'll say this boldly, we're about to abandon the traditional system of money and accounting and introduce a new one. And the new one, the new accounting, is what we call blockchain. It means digital. It means having a almost perfect record of every single transaction that happens in the economy, which will give us far greater clarity over what's going on.
Yeah, what are the slaves doing? They'll have total transparency, right? Now, we're not going to have time to get into this today, but she actually hit on a couple of really important points that I want to mention. The Bank for International Settlements proposed 2 years ago, and they're working on this right now, creating an international blockchain ledger. They propose to tokenize every single asset in the known universe, every tree, every car, every house, every toothbrush, and that token will live on this international blockchain ledger, controlled, of course, by the Bank for International Settlements. And if you want to interact with this ledger, say you want to sell your car, you want to buy something, the only way to do it will be to use CBDCs. So you will basically be shut out of the economy completely. You will not be able to buy or sell if you won't participate with the digital system.
So, Alex Newman, I have been talking about this for at least a year and a half, and I thought it would be even being implemented as we're speaking. What's taking so long?
Part of it is the technology. They just have not had the technology yet to implement this around the world. Now, the Bank for International Settlements proudly tells you that about 95% of all the central banks in the world are working on a central bank digital currency. But to truly roll this out around the entire world, you're going to have everybody connected. Everybody's going to have a smartphone. Every merchant, every little seller of bananas on the street corner is going to have to be able to take digital currency. And there are a lot of countries where there's just not enough prosperity to make that happen. And so they're working on this now through the World Bank, through the International Monetary Fund, through the foreign aid budgets of the United States and the European Union. They're working on bringing all of this into place. But there's so many working parts. And so I think what they're going to do, and we've already seen central bank digital currencies rolled out in several countries, including about 100 miles from me in the Bahamas. They've already rolled out their sand dollar is what they call it. But we'll see this CBDC system run in parallel with cash. And as they get closer to the goal where they know the technology is in place, they know they've got all systems firing on all cylinders, they'll start demonizing cash like you can't imagine. It's a tool for terrorists. It's a tool for sex traffickers and drug dealers and pimps. So there's still, I think, a little bit of time between now and then just because they have to get all the technology worked out. But they've told us what they want to do. A global system where every transaction will happen digitally. It will be tracked and it will live on this international blockchain. So folks, 2000 years ago when Revelation 13 was written, it probably sounded pretty wild, the idea that there'd be a one world system that could prevent everybody from buying or selling if they wouldn't take the mark. What we're watching right now is the architecture of that system being built in front of our eyes.
Think about the two things that she mentioned, abandoning traditional money and abandoning the accounting systems that we're familiar with. This is godlike. In other words, only God can have everything in the whole universe nailed down, but they're going to create through AI and with the technology that's coming before us, this like total control. It is, again, Satan just shaking his fist at God, said, I will be like the Most High. And I'm just taken back that they're so bold, so forthright in their blasphemy and affirmation of it.
I do believe this is one of the most important issues facing the church, facing the family, and facing our country, because what's happening right now Our children are being deliberately and systematically turned away from God, away from the truth, away from the Word of God, and toward globalism, the preparation for this one world system. It's being done very openly. One of the things that I talk about in the book, the UN has what they call the World Core Curriculum. It was written by the man who they describe as the father of global education, Robert Mueller. And in the teacher's manual, in the foreword, he actually admits that it's based on the teachings of Alice Bailey and the Tibetan teacher Jeval Kul. Well, Alice Bailey was the founder of the Lucifer Publishing Company, and this Tibetan teacher was not a Tibetan or a teacher. In fact, Alice Bailey claimed to be communicating with spiritual entities. If you read your Bible, we're clearly talking about demons here. And these demons were giving her secret insights into the coming one world system. And she talks about them very extensively in books that I have here in my library for research purposes, like Education in the New Age. So the system of so-called education is preparing children to live under a one-world antichrist system. It's doing it very openly. And we see the numbers, right? Millennials, my generation, most millennials in America today reject even the label Christian. Some of the data that's come out, something like 80 to 90% of Christian children who go through 12 years of this indoctrination program will leave the church and will leave the faith. So I think it's critical for Americans and for Christians, for the church to understand what's happening and also what the Bible teaches on these subjects. It is just absolutely critical. And it's hard to think of a more significant emergency than our children being indoctrinated to submit to this wickedness.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the selling point right there for your safety, for your security. So that way no one breaks in and steals all of your cash that's in your account. All of us have been hacked. It was actually hacked my email just even today and had to send out a note to all of our staff. So all of us know what it is to be hacked. Now imagine the threat, the warning, the oops that a bank makes and, oh, someone hacked us. And so out of fear, everyone driven to a digital currency, it's only a matter of time.
We know there are a few very significant milestones coming up. For example, in September of this year, the UN is having an enormous and highly significant meeting in New York, right around the time of the meeting of the General Assembly. They're calling it the Summit for the Future. And they're telling us what's going to happen at this summit. The Secretary General of the UN, Antonio Guterres, who prior to taking over the UN was the top leader of the Socialist International. It's the world's largest alliance of socialist and communist political parties. He's been putting out policy briefs in preparation for this summit for the future, where he's calling for basically, you don't even have to read between the lines, calling for turning the United Nations into a global dictatorship. Policy brief number two, as one example, I broke this story last year, calls for giving the UN full and total authority, even over nation states, over businesses, over non-governmental organizations in the event of a global emergency. And as you read this document, you'll find out very quickly, pretty much anything could be a global emergency. A war, an economic crisis, an environmental crisis, a black swan event. And then they say it doesn't even have to be a global emergency. And it might be an emergency that we haven't thought of yet. It might be something from space. So pretty much under any pretext that the Secretary General determines is a global emergency, the UN would assume full and total control. So that's on the agenda for later this year. They've got, of course, the Agenda 2030, the Sustainable Development Goals, where they plan to bring a lot of this in by the year 2030. And Jen, if you read the Agenda 2030, it is very clearly a comprehensive roadmap for global totalitarian government. The head of the UN General Assembly regularly called it the master plan for humanity back when it was adopted. And they've been working on this three-pronged approach. Peter Drucker referred to it as the three-legged stool to bring about major global changes. The governments of the world, that's one leg of the stool. And of course, the United Nations represents governments, right? Virtually all governments in the world. Then you have the business community. So the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab's operation, has signed a strategic partnership with the UN to bring the global business community on board. And they've done that very well. And then the last leg, the religious leg of the stool, that is what you opened up the program with, Dr. Azza Karam. She's saying this is the UN of religions. Now, in 2019, they met in Germany and unanimously agreed, all these religious leaders, including the top leaders of the Vatican, Islam, Hinduism, all these different religions of the world, they claim to represent all the religions of the world. They all agreed they were going to commit to human development as set forth in the 2030 agenda. So you've got the religious, the government, and the business communities all walking in lockstep toward the system. And 2030 is a very, very significant year for them.
The DNCP brought to you by Liquid Mana for optimum health and wellness, vitamin packs, hydration packs, immunity packs in the Woodlands, Conroe, Willis, Huntsville, New Waverly. DNCP is for entertainment purposes only and the exclusive property of DNC Media, LLC.